You know, we all have a lot of data, and it has to positively, absolutely stay safe.
It can't get into the wrong hands, and the biggest challenge we have is how to transfer it from here to there. We all know as leaders that legacy tools that transfer our important files and sensitive data are mostly outdated and fall short on security, especially with the demands of today's remote workforce. Relying on outdated technology puts our organization's brand at risk, and that is unacceptable. So we are excited to invite you to step into the future of completely secured managed file transfer from our friends at Kiteworks. Kiteworks is absolutely, positively the most secure managed file platform on the market today. They've been FedRAMP moderate authorized by the Department of Defense since 2017. And unlike traditional legacy systems with limited functionality, Kiteworks has unmatched software security with ongoing bounty programs and regular pen testing to minimize vulnerabilities. And the coolest part, they have easy to use one-click appliance updates you will love. Step into the future of secure managed file transfer with Kiteworks. Visit kiteworks.com to get started. That's kiteworks.com to get started today. And now the show. So today's story is about an international fraud at a scale never before seen.
David, why don't you walk us through it?
Why did normally sensible people invest most or all of their money into a bogus currency?
That is insane.
It was led by like a cult-like recruitment program with a lady who has been termed and self-proclaimed queen of crypto. It was called OneCoin. It was the newest crypto coin to end all other coins. It was called the Bitcoin killer. Of over the 12,000 different types of cryptocurrencies, nothing was supposed to be like OneCoin, and nothing was. This was one poised to break all the records and bring great fortune to many. It was set to revolutionize the cryptocurrency market, promising staggering returns for investments. They had webinars, trading seminars, marketing campaigns, public speeches, epic news media coverages, a fateful evening show at Wembley Stadium with music blasting the song of "This Girl Is On Fire," all while pyrotechnics shot up flames that seemed to touch the sky above the UK. Then in a flash, governments declared it as a fraud, and then their offices were raided, and it was learned that there was, in fact, no blockchain technology whatsoever creating this coin. That's the heart of any cryptocurrency, is the security and the reality behind it. And the crypto exchange that it was hosted on couldn't even cash out the coins that people had invested thousands, no millions, actually billions in combined life savings into this crypto coin called OneCoin that actually never even existed. By 2017, this crypto queen seems to have disappeared off the face of the earth with over $1 billion missing or lost and hundreds of thousands of people bankrupt or having lost their life savings. This is the true cybercrime story of the crypto queen. Lucky to work for a great group of people you really believe in.
Find yourself making an impact.
Technology is a river that flows through every aspect of an organization, and today is different. We put ourselves and our organizations literally at risk of complete destruction every single time we get online. One click, one distraction is all it takes. Hi, Cybercrime Junkies. This is your host, David Morrow, along with co-host Mark Mosher.
Come join us as we explore our research into these blockbuster true crime stories,
along with interviews of leaders who built and protect great brands.
So today's story is one that most people have never heard of. And when David and I began researching it, every time we peeled back the onion, it got crazier and crazier. David, why don't you walk us through it?
Ruja Ignatova, the crypto queen, she called it OneCoin. Her team made slick videos promising that buying OneCoin was a way to ride the crypto wave for people who didn't understand crypto. And word quickly spread, reaching people in 175 different countries around the world. By 2016, Ignatova could pack a stadium, and she did. She claimed OneCoin was easy to use. It was for everyone. You can make payments everywhere, everyone can, and they can do it globally. It was to really transform and revolutionize currency as we know it. Ruya Ignatova was born in Bulgaria on May 30th, 1980. Born in a town called Ruse, she immigrated to Germany with her family when she was 10, and then spent part of her childhood in Schramberg in the state of Baden-Württemberg. She got her Bachelor of Arts from Oxford, and in 2005, she earned a PhD in private international law from the University of Constance. She also worked for McKinsey & Company, which is a very well-known global management consulting firm founded way back in 1926 by University of Chicago professor James McKinsey. For those who may have remembered McKinsey, it has been associated with a few newsworthy events like the collapse of Enron in 2001, the 2007-2008 financial crisis, and others. Ignatova, an attorney, was married to a German lawyer with whom she had a daughter in 2016. Shortly thereafter, she disappeared. And today, her whereabouts remain unknown. A quick timeline of events involved the following. In 2012, she was convicted of fraud in Germany in connection with her and her father's Plamen Ignatov's acquisition of a company that shortly afterwards was declared bankrupt in very skeptical circumstances. And she was given a suspended license sentence in 14 months imprisonment, meaning she had that hanging over her head, and if she violated anything, she would have to serve 14 months in jail. But that didn't seem to stop her. The following year, in 2013, she was involved in a multi-level marketing scam called Bigcoin. And then the following year after that, she founded the Ponzi scheme called OneCoin. In 2019, her brother, Konstantin Ignatov, pled guilty to fraud and money laundering in connection with this scheme. In 2022, police in Germany confirmed an investigation of this lawyer from Nuremberg for money laundering, the transfer of 7.7 million euros by Ignatova into one of the private accounts that they owned. In January of this year, 2022, the police searched the apartments and offices in Wellberg, Baden-Baden, Frankfurt, and Main, Bad Homburg. And in May 2022, Europol added Ignatova to its most wanted list. On June 30th of this year, 2022, the Federal Bureau of Investigations in the U.S., the FBI, added Ignatova to the FBI's 10 most wanted fugitives list and held a joint press conference with IRS Criminal Investigation and the United States Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York, offering a reward that stands today of over $100,000 for information leading to her arrest. It has made international news, and there's been a leading podcast on the BBC's podcast platform. So check that out as well. It's essentially the hunt for this woman today. That's a quick overview of the timeline, but now we're going to explain what actually happened. And there have been a lot of Ponzi schemes in the past. Think of Bernie Madoff's massive fraud involving the exchange and stocks and investments from thousands of people, many of them celebrities throughout the world and the United States. And that even pales to comparison to what was accomplished here. The companies behind this scheme involving Ruya Ignatova were OneCoin Limited and One Life Network Limited. And search and research of those organizations is striking. When you see them online, you would think they had found the next big thing. They were run by Ruja and her brother Konstantin Ignatova. And from 2014 to 2016, combined, along with their chief marketing partner, Sebastian Greenwood, they had been able to raise over $4 billion. That makes what Theranos did almost pale in comparison. All of this revenue was from investors who believed they were buying cryptocurrency and access, but in reality were receiving nothing. Besides maybe what's alleged to be the mostly plagiarized educational training. As we've learned, one of the key factors making this such a scam was that OneCoin itself was not an actively traded cryptocurrency like it was claiming to be, nor could the coins be used to purchase anything. The company's main business was essentially only delivering one product, not a cryptocurrency, but rather in selling the course materials. In our research, we found that the educational materials were themselves, in fact, mostly plagiarized in most cases. That's what the research and the allegations are saying. The course material business model was akin to a MLM scheme, a multi-level marketing scheme, where course material buyers were paid to recruit new buyers. And how did OneCoin work? Well, their claim was a powerful one, and that was that OneCoins could be mined. It was a cryptocurrency, and that it could be mined, and that there existed in the world 120 billion coins that were available, and they could be used to make payments, even having an e-wallet that you can open and save your coins into. However, the reality was far different. There was, in fact, no OneCoin blockchain model or payment system. As we mentioned, the company did sell education materials, such as courses on cryptocurrencies. This was, in reality, its main business. The rest seemed to be smoke and mirrors, one of the most profitable segments of smoke and mirrors in history. The courses that they did sell included other areas as well, such as trading and investing. The buyers of these mostly plagiarized courses were offered rewards for bringing in more participants to the courses. And buyers of the course packages were to receive tokens. Those tokens could then be used to mine for OneCoins. So how did the OneCoin exchange work? Well, the exchange for converting OneCoin into currencies was called the OneCoin Exchange under the acronym XCoinX, which was an internal marketplace. Members were able to access the exchange if they bought more than just the beginner education training package. However, the reality was, unlike most other crypto exchanges, here they place selling limits on accounts based on the level of education package purchased. By January 2017, the exchange was shut down. Part of what led to the investors' loss and damage and struggle is that OneCoin denied the majority of withdrawal requests, and the exchange was the only way affiliates could cash out. So when did people start to figure this out? When did people start to figure out that OneCoin was in fact a fraud? The answer is not soon enough, obviously. In 2016, questions started to come up about OneCoin as many countries began to investigate the company, some calling it a pyramid scheme. The Direct Selling Association in Norway called the OneCoin fraud a pyramid scheme back in March 2016. Later that year, the Hungarian Central Bank claimed that OneCoin was also a pyramid scheme. By 2017, OneCoin claimed it was the first company to become licensed by the Vietnamese government and legally allowed to be used as a digital currency in Vietnam. But the Vietnam government denies that. In early 2018, the Bulgarian police, where this began, raided the company's office. Founder Ruja disappeared in 2017, as we mentioned, when a warrant was filed for her arrest. Her brother, Konstantin, replaced her as the face of the company at that time. Co-founder Greenwood, those three that we're showing for people that are watching the video portion, Mr. Greenwood was arrested in 2018, and Konstantin was ultimately arrested in 2019, but more on him in a bit and more on Greenwood in a bit. Greenwood is allegedly in discussion with authorities about a possible plea deal. But at the end of the day, OneCoin was never actively traded, nor could the coins be used to purchase anything. So what about the victims? What about all the people that lost their money? There were many of them. Several have attorneys, and they've filed suit after suit and claim after claim with the Bulgarian government, claiming that they're not doing enough to seize assets. There's a lot of civil litigation to try and seize the assets so their losses can be mitigated. One example that was made public is a victim, Jen McAdam, when she told BBC, a British broadcast company back in 2019, that she and her friends and family had thrown $250,000 or euros away on OneCoin.
Ms. McAdam said it all started from a friend's message about this unmissable investment opportunity. Sitting at her computer from Glasgow, she clicked on a link and joined one of the OneCoin webinars. Over the next hour or so, she listened carefully as people were enthusiastic and talking about this exciting new cryptocurrency, how it could transform her fortune and transform the way that currency is used. All of them were upbeat, full of passion, very, very persuasive, saying things like, "You're lucky that you're seeing this webinar right now. You're in such an early stage. It's going to be just like Bitcoin, only bigger." For more on that, you can check out, again, the Missing Crypto Queen podcast on BBC Sounds, which is a great podcast that goes in for the hunt of Ruja, who remains still at large today. So what about the chance that this was all a mistake? She didn't just steal all this money and use it for personal reasons, right? Like, that's one of the questions that viewers have asked us. Nobody's that heartless, right? This was people's retirement funds, their life savings, after all. There's no way that she just used this all for personal gain. Well, court records show the opposite. Court records show that she lived a lavish lifestyle. While it was ongoing, she steered money into almost anything, from real estate in Belgrade, Serbia, to racehorses in Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates, to an oil field in Madagascar. This was an international fraud. Reports say that a four-bedroom luxury townhome with a number of fine artworks placed in the apartment, including a rare Andy Warhol piece, was purchased by a shell company in 2016, which kept the crypto queen's name out of the picture but was tied to her. Right before purchasing that property, she had apparently pled guilty to that German bankruptcy case that we noted before. One of the other things is that how did this all get perpetuated? I mean, how did this get legitimized? Couldn't people have seen this right off the bat? Well, it got street cred from legal advisors and people that went public saying that they've investigated it, they've audited it, and that it's very legitimate. I mean, in hindsight, it looks so obvious to us now, but they had legal evaluations done that gave it credibility. But then it cast shadow on the lawyers that ultimately did that. So one German lawyer from Breidenbach Reisenhof in 2014 helped legitimize the idea that OneCoin was in fact a cryptocurrency, even though it didn't have blockchain or any similarities to any blockchain technology. What had happened is one of the attorneys from that group said, most countries have recognized cryptocurrencies as a bona fide commodity, which may be held and traded by their citizens, the law firm stated at the time. And in our opinion, OneCoin is a legitimate product limited to 2.1 billion coins. So they had added that back in 2014. But reports show that Martin Breidenbach, actually ultimately faced trial in Munster, Germany, along with two other individuals, over money laundering charges that were connected to the OneCoin pyramid scheme and Ruja Ignatova. Reports published showed that Breidenbach actually began working with OneCoin and engaging in legal work for them back in 2014. So the people that were legitimizing it to the world were actually involved in it and making compensation from it. And then there were some other shocking stories that were tied and indirectly related to it. There was mysterious deaths of two OneCoin representatives, and they were pretty recent. In 2020, two OneCoin advocates were found dead, murdered in Mexico. Two promoters of OneCoin were found in Mazatlan, Mexico. Oscar Brida Ibarra and Ignacio Ibarra, two major promoters of OneCoin, were kidnapped and killed, according to the Cointelegraph en Español. According to the report, the two men were promoting OneCoin as a payment method for a local car firm, a local automobile company, the Latin America Automobile Marketing Company. And it was first reported by major Latin American publication, La Tercera. And according to the report, their bodies were found stuffed into suitcases and dumped in a vacant lot. The two men were apparently killed by suffocation. So what was interesting is that the OneCoin scam was well known, and the arrests had begun by the time Oscar Brito Ibarra joined OneCoin. So according to the article, the story kind of began back in 2017 when Oscar Brito Ibarra, who was from Chile, he was a Chilean citizen, first signed up for the OneCoin scheme as an affiliate, right? After promoting OneCoin for a while, Oscar Brito Ibarra reportedly got an Argentinian partner, this other gentleman who was found dead, Ignacio Ibarra, involved to promote the OneCoin by offering discounts for making purchasing vehicles with OneCoin. According to the report, the promised cars, though, were never delivered, despite the two men continuing to promote the scam across and throughout Latin America. Some speculate that local cartels may have been involved in the murder. There wound up being about 140 people in Argentina scammed by this by the end of 2019, with some of them having lost up to $400,000. On June 20th of 2020, Brito and Ibarra traveled to Mazatlan, Mexico. And the exact reason for the trip remains unclear, but the trip could have apparently been linked to pushing out OneCoin. And then the bodies of the two men were found a few days later. Citing a report from the USDEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration, La Tercera suggests that the murders could have involved local cartels that increasingly are starting to deal with cryptocurrencies in order to launder money. So if death and cartels are not enough of a scandal, let's look at how did she wind up going on the lam and being wanted and breach the FBI's most wanted list.
Ruja Ignatova went underground in 2017, just at the time when law enforcement was starting to get wind of all the companies and what they had been doing, and when the other governments had been declaring it as a fraud.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You know, we all have a lot of data, and it has to positively, absolutely stay safe.
It can't get into the wrong hands, and the biggest challenge we have is how to transfer it from here to there. We all know as leaders that legacy tools that transfer our important files and sensitive data are mostly outdated and fall short on security, especially with the demands of today's remote workforce. Relying on outdated technology puts our organization's brand at risk, and that is unacceptable. So we're excited to invite you to step into the future of completely secured managed file transfer from our friends at Kiteworks. Kiteworks is absolutely, positively the most secure managed file platform on the market today. They've been FedRAMP moderate authorized by the Department of Defense since 2017. And unlike traditional legacy systems with limited functionality, Kiteworks has unmatched software security with ongoing bounty programs and regular pen testing to minimize vulnerabilities. And the coolest part, they have easy to use one-click appliance updates you will love. Step into the future of secure managed file transfer with Kiteworks. Visit kiteworks.com to get started. That's kiteworks.com to get started today. And now, the show.
She was due to attend an event in Lisbon, but instead, she, for some reason, she boarded a plane to Athens and then disappeared. She's never been seen in public or by anyone since. Many think because of the money and the resources that she had, she's undergone vast amounts of plastic surgery, changed her appearance. And at the time, her closest confidant, like her boyfriend at the time, was even allegedly cooperating with authorities. And when she discovered that, that's when she took off.
Her brother, Constantine,
has since been indicted and was detained in the U.S. after being investigated by the FBI. He was arrested on March 6, 2019 at the Los Angeles International Airport. He was charged with wire fraud conspiracy stemming from his role. And then he was later released from prison on a $500,000 bond, which made a lot of people wonder and speculate, because how could a $500,000 bond be issued when there's $4 billion of hard-earned funds and retirement funds and people's life savings lost. The $500,000 was paid by two people, one called Ivan Luchikolovsky, a.k.a. Ivan Yukolovsky, and Draga Lembreva. Konstantin, who ran the business for a time, right? This is the brother. He pled guilty to multiple felonies later that year in 2019. He's been free on bond while he awaits sentencing. He's allegedly agreed to testify against his sister. And some of his, as they flipped him to go after other people, that's probably the reason many speculate for why they let him be released pending sentencing. And his sentencing continues to be delayed. It was supposed to happen in 2021, rather, and then 2022. And now it's set for later on this year, in 2022. The reason they say is because his information, he's totally explaining everything to federal law enforcement and international law enforcement. His testimony has actually helped. It helped prove OneCoin's lawyer, a gentleman named Mark Scott. They were able to find him guilty of fraud and money laundering. He received more than $50 million in compensation for helping the OneCoin scam, and U.S. Marshals have seized his luxury automobiles, mansions, and a yacht. That became public November 21st, 2019. And it described how Scott had laundered approximately $400 million of OneCoin's proceeds. And this is shocking simply because when we think about it, it wasn't even a cryptocurrency. This is a cyber crime. Like when you think about it, it mirrors what Elizabeth Holmes and Theranos had done, right? These are very powerful PowerPoint presentations and sales presentations with nothing essentially to back them up. And what's crazy is the scale that these criminals have been able to reach, right? Billions of dollars, notoriety. And they were hiding in plain sight. They were she packed Wembley, right? She packed Wembley. Like she had tons of tens of thousands of people. They had stage productions, all of this. And as viewers can see, we've posted a couple things, how victims and victim advocates were livid on social media when the brother, Konstantin, was posting about traveling and not being incarcerated pending his sentencing. And then there was Sebastian Greenwood. Carl Sebastian Greenwood, a marketing specialist for OneCoin. He even still has a LinkedIn page, for Christ's sake. And he's currently facing jail time in Manhattan. He was the public face of OneCoin and One Life. He was the one at center stage. He was the one that could translate all of the hype and all of the brand image that they had created. And he has just been unstoppable ever since. He was dubbed by law enforcement as the public face of OneCoin and One Life, the companies that ran this scheme. He's currently or reportedly was in plea deal talks, but I don't know whether that fell through or not, because he has a pending trial that continues to get continued. But what was shocking is he's still been masterminding things while still in jail. In fact, he was able to use millions of dollars in jail, and he has connections all over. A lawyer representing the victims, Jonathan Levy, reported in several articles, some on Bitcoin.com, some through the BBC, that Carl Greenwood has been masterminding things and was even able, check this out, he was able to transfer $20 million of funds that should be going to the victims away and transfer it into accounts that he either owns or has control over, all while still in jail. Apparently what happened, there was a statement released November 24th, 2021, where the attorney Levy explained that Greenwood, who's in the Manhattan Metropolitan Correction Center, right downtown New York, was able to pull off this massive transfer of $20 million. I mean, any significant amount of money gets traced and there's forms that need to be filled out, etc. This guy's able to do it from a cell phone that somebody
gives him while he's still in jail. He said that Greenwood was aided by a network of lawyers and given a contraband cell phone. The attorney said the failure of the SEC and other regulators to confiscate the assets, and apparently there's 230,000 bitcoins that OneCoin has the private keys to. Think of how much a bitcoin trades for. It's traded, if it fluctuates daily, but it's anywhere between $20,000 and $30,000 for one bitcoin. And this guy apparently has access, or they've had access to 230,000 of them. So apparently that money is helping him still be able to access some of these things. The attorney said in a statement that day, back in November of 2021, he said, "I am shocked and dismayed. There's been no attempt to confiscate OneCoin assets. We know that vast amounts of cash, real estate, and cryptocurrency have been unlawfully obtained. The brazen acts of Carl Sebastian Greenwood from his jail cell only confirm our worst fears that with every passing day, billions of dollars of assets are being placed beyond the hope of recovery." It's a remarkable statement. And we can only hope that they get some traction in collecting some of those stolen assets. I mean, to pull this off, to pull out a transfer of $20 million while in jail for this crime is it's unbelievable. Apparently, there were numerous powers of attorney that were issued in Dubai in order for something like this to occur. And Greenwood's been able to successfully manage to get banks to unfreeze certain bank accounts that held hundreds of millions of dollars from OneCoin. And then he allegedly used a mobile phone that's now in the possession of the U.S. law enforcement to remotely execute this $20 million transfer. So meanwhile, the attorney hopes that the release of information like that and like this can about what Greenwood was able to do while still in prison can help force regulators in the U.S., in Bulgaria, and even Dubai to finally act against these masterminds. Today, Ruja Ignatova sits on the FBI's 10 most wanted list. That is a very big deal. It's basically a giant publicity stunt and a way to get people like us that can draw attention. So we have the most wanted poster up on our video presentation right now. When the FBI placed Ruja Ignatova on America's FBI 10 most wanted list this past June of 2022, FBI agent and spokesperson Mike Driscoll stated that our hope in that naming her to the top 10 most wanted fugitive list will draw attention to her and her alleged crimes. NBC News reported in June that at a press conference, Damian Williams, U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, called her, quote, an international fugitive who allegedly masterminded a worldwide fraud, unquote. He said she now sits side by side on the top 10 list with cartel leaders, murderers, and terrorists. And he said, that's no accident. The FBI has an anonymous tip line. You can submit a tip online at tips.fbi.gov. You can contact your local FBI field office or closest international office, or you can provide information on this or any other case at 1-800-CALL-FBI. That's 1-800-CALL-FBI, 1-800-225-5324. We hope you enjoyed the true cybercrime story of the Crypto Queen. Hi, cybercrime junkies. Thanks for listening.
Got a question you want us to address on an episode? Reach out to us at cybercrimejunkies.com. We explore why cybercrime grows daily, how it is funded, productized, and organized, how to protect yourself, and where cybercrime goes to hide. And thanks for being a cybercrime junkie.